Today's shiur is Masechta Shabbos Daf Pei Hey. We will begin on Daf Pei Dalet on the base, four lines from the bottom, my mashmud, with the Gemara. In yesterday's shiur, we had learned that if someone wants to plant in a small patch, a patch of six tefachim by six tefachim, he could plant five different types of growths as long as he followed the proper directions which our Mishnah gave, which really were that you have to plant four of them along the four walls of this patch, and the fifth one as an independent seed in the middle of the patch. And the Gemara and the Mishnah had quoted a pasuk that speaks about the Gula of Klal Yisrael, the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael, where the pasuk in Yeshaya describes how Klal Yisrael and Mitzvashem b'mheira b'yameinu will shine forth and be like a beautiful field that gives its peiros. And the Mishnah said that based on that pasuk, we're able to understand that based on that pasuk, we're able to understand that you can do these five different types of planting. And the Gemara, of course, immediately asks, my mashma, how from the words of that pasuk is this halacha indicated? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, this is the way to understand the pasuk. The pasuk says, ki ka'aretz toitzi tzimcha. Toitzi is chad, refers to one. Tzimcha is another one, chad. So we have a total of high tray. So now we already have two things that are growing. Zeru'eha is said by Lashon Rabbim. So we know that the minimum of a Lashon Rabbim is two. So two plus two, we already had two. Now we added another two. So we have a total, Harei Arba. Ha'arba. So we have four together. And Tatzmiach, and then the Pasuk says the word Tatzmiach again, so we have a total, Ha'chamisha, that's how we have a total of five, and that's how this Pasuk alludes to the halacha that we've been discussing, that five different things planted in the field, you can have five different things planted in the field without any problem. Now, we review at this point a halacha that we learned in yesterday's shiur. Yesterday, more than a halacha, actually more like a concept. Yesterday, we of course quoted the din of klayim, which teaches us we're not allowed to plant two different things together. That we discussed extensively in our previous year. When we speak about, as we explained, the issa klayim, so klayim of course means you're not allowed to plant two different things that grow together. The question is, when we try to understand the issa klayim, how do we understand the issa klayim? Do we understand the issa klayim that they're not allowed to be yoinik, they're not allowed to receive any nourishment together? Or do we understand the issa klayim as an issa which is represented where they're not allowed to be seen as if they're growing together? So it's clear from Rashi that as long as it's obvious that these are two separate things that are growing, teaches us Rashi that that is not considered klayim. But what is important to understand, that's when it's noticeable. If it's noticeable and obvious that these are different fields, these are different things that are growing, we don't have a problem of klayim. But not always is that obvious. Sometimes when things grow together, sometimes it's not that obvious. Where it's not obvious, then we have to use another method of separating. What's going to be the other method of separating? The other method of separating will be to make sure that they're not yoinik together. Now, based on this introduction, says the Gemara, Kimlo Rabbanan, Chazal were experts, and they said, the chamisha b'shita, that when you have these five different seeds that are growing in this patch of six tefachim by six tefachim, lo yanki hadadi. So the four, as I said, the four different seeds that are planted along the walls of this along the sides of this patch, so which are obvious that they're each separate. I don't need more than that to make it permissible to plant that way. But what we do need to be concerned about, what we need to be concerned about is the middle one. And Chazal said that when you have an area of three tefachim between the seed and the other seed, that means the middle seed and the seeds on the side, if you have a total of three tefachim separating that, then it's enough of a division. So we see that in order to be able to accomplish what we just said, you would have to have that the patch is not bigger than six tefachim, and then you'll be able to plant these five different seeds. Actually, there's a question which I saw Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita asks. He says, if you're going to have a seed in the middle, it's not going to be exactly three tefachim separated from the two sides. Because if you're going to have a seed in the middle, that seed takes up room. So it's going to be less than three tefachim. So the question is, how could you say that you're allowed to have three tefachim? You should have to have a little more. So he answers that the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says you have to have, when the Mishnah, the way we're explaining it, says that you have to have three tefachim, it's only in a case where the tefach is a larger tefach. Throughout Shas, we discuss larger tefachim and smaller tefachim. So he says that the tefach that we're going to use here is a larger tefach. But for Hilchus Klayim, for the concern that they are Yanki Mehadodi, it's enough to use a smaller tefach. So we put, when we planted the field, we used a bigger tefach. When we actually measure, we use the smaller tefach. We're only planting one seed. That's going to be the difference. So the question is that if that's the case, that Chazal understood that when we have this setup, there's no problem of klayim, what was the purpose of the pasuk that the Mishnah quoted that we explained at the beginning of the shiur? So the answer is, the pasuk is coming to teach us a very important halacha, because we would have always assumed that when we speak about Hilchus Klayim, what to really decide is or isn't Klayim is of Yanki Hadadi, that they receive common nourishment. That's what we would have normally assumed is the point of Klayim. And of course, in the setup of our Mishnah, you don't have that three tefachim separation between the sides of the patch. What we see from here is that it's not only Yanika that is a factor. In fact, the way we are explaining, Yanika is the secondary factor to take in consideration. If it's obvious that these are separate fields, then Yanika is not even a consideration. And that's why Chazal wanted to show us that their point, that when we talk about Klayim, don't just look at Yanika. On the contrary, look if it looks separate. That is the main point to look at to determine if there is or isn't the problem of Klayim. Chazal said the way we know that is from this pasuk that showed us, that alluded to, that you could plant five different seroyim in one field. Ask the Gemara. Umanolon, the Hada Kimlo Rabbanon, Milsahi. So how do we know that Chazal were such experts that they could even know the sheer Yanika? Meaning, as the Ritva explains, we know Chazal are Talmid Chachamim. We of course have to accept the psak of what Chazal say under any circumstances. But Chazal are basing their decision here, their psak here, on a physical halacha, on the halacha that Yanika is three tefachim. So if they were saying that this is halacha l'Moshe Sinai, so of course we would never ask any questions. Chazal of course, are the ones that tell us what is or wasn't, what isn't a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. But that's not what's happening in our Gemara. The Gemara is saying that Chazal were experts even in agriculture. And where did Chazal take this for, that they are such, from where do we see the Chazal such experts, even in agriculture? Says the Gemara. There's a point. The Pasuk says, don't breach the border of your friend, of your neighbor, that they were already marked off by the earlier people. So of course the question is, we're not allowed to breach that border. We're not allowed to breach any border. Why? What is the point of saying Ashugovlu Rishonim? My Govlu Rishonim, says the Gemara Amr Shmuel ben Nachman Amr Yonasan the Ksiv. There's another pasuk that speaks about the Bnei Seir that lived in Eretz Edom before Esav came. The pasuk says, Ela Bnei Seir HaChori Yoshvei HaAretz. Ask the Gemara, Ota Kule Alma. The pasuk calls them Yoshvei HaAretz. They lived on the land. What does that mean? Does everybody else live in the sky that you describe them that they live on the land? They were experts. What is the best thing to plant in every place? Fill up this length of vines. This is a great place to plant grapes. This is a great place for figs. Why are they called chayri? Shemarichim es ha'aretz. They were able to smell the ground, and when they would smell the ground, they were able to tell us, this is the right, on this ground, this is what should be planted. V'chivi. And why were they called chivi? Amar ha'papa, she'etayim es ha'aretz k'chivya. They would taste the ground like a snake to determine what is most suited. And as the Mefarshim explained, we know that a snake eats the earth of the ground. So snakes are experts in what grows from the ground. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omer, the reason they were called Chayri, Shenasa b'nei Chayri b'nei Chaseyim, because they were the people that originally lived in Edom, and then Esav's descendants came and chased them out of that land, and they were Chayri, they were made free of that land, and that's why they're called Chayri. But what we see from here is that there were people that were experts. And Chazal learned from those experts what is the proper shear yanika. I saw that the Chasam Sofer explains that the Gemara says that they used to taste the earth and they knew what is the right thing to grow in every place. So he explains what it means is that these people were experts. They knew what to plant in what place. And then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, he told Moshe Rabbeinu what these people determined, how and where to plant the different fruits, vegetables, is right. So that's why they were chayri. They were zoich to be in Torah. They were zoich to become part of the halacha. So the Sar Sholem from Belz makes an interesting observation. The Pasuk, we say it every morning, says, V'chayrus ma'abris, losis eretz ha'knani achiti ha'mayri, ha'priz v'ayvusi v'agagoshi. But we know, asked the Chasam Sofer, that the Chivi was one of the nations that was in Eretz Canaan. And the question is, asked the Chasam Sofer, why is the Chivi not mentioned in that Pasuk that we say every day? So he explains that the Gemara here says that the Chivi, that they're compared to the Nachash. A Nachash, we know, represents the Baal Aveira. So we specifically don't, every morning in the davening, want to mention the Chivi. How would we want to mention this nation, which represents the snake, which the snake represents Aveiris, which the snake represents the Yetzer Hara? How would we want to mention him every morning when we daven? The Gemara here said that Chazal were experts. Chazal were experts in agriculture we see in the Gemara. But we also see from the Gemara that we're supposed to learn from everything that we're supposed to learn from everything that from everybody and anyone that has something to learn. The Gemara identifies all these various experts who are experts in agriculture, and based on what they said, we knew what to do. The Rambam in Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh says that Sha'anu Yoidim Kama Dvarim Binyan Hilichas Achama V'Alvana. We understand many things, many facts about the way the moon and the sun travel in the sky. Mechach Meyovin from the Greek Chachamim. V'Apizeh Anukoyimus HaChadoshim. We determine the new month based on what they said, based on what we learned from them. And that's why the Gemara Masechet Megillah teaches us. Even if somebody is from the Umas Olam, but he says something that's Chachma, Nikra Chacham. And the Rambam in the Hagdama of the Shemayna Prokim says, Kabel es ames misha amru. If somebody says something that is correct, then that's something that we should accept. And that's why the Shar Mitzion Balocha says that when it comes to different medical situations, of course we should accept the advice and the expertise of doctors, whether they are from Klal Yisrael or not. And the Chasam Sofer in a tshuva in Yoyredei Simen Mem Hei takes this one step further. When you see a physical fact, that has more value than any other raya in the world. However, he does say in another tshuva, in Yoyredei Simen Ayin Ches, that there was a question about the blood in an egg. We know blood in an egg is usur, and the question is, where is that usur? If it's in the yellow or if it's on the white? And there he says that we should again follow what we learn from science. But he does say a different point. He says, when it comes to determining the nature of a body and the physical facts around a person's body, he says it's not necessarily correct to learn how a Jewish body works from the body of Nochrim. Not because there's anything wrong or right with them, but the point he says is that the Nochrim eat different foods, and they live a totally different lifestyle than we do. And that, of course, has tremendous influence on how we live. And since it has a tremendous influence on who we are and how we live, we can't necessarily determine the nature of our bodies from the way that they live. One more interesting shaila that I saw discussed here by the Sefer Chashukei Chemed. He asks, so as we know, that if you have klayim, you must dispose of the klayim, obviously. So the question that he discusses is, if there's klayim growing in a field, we learned earlier in the Masechta that if somebody prunes a tree, it's considered a malach on Shabbos, because by taking off that fruit, you make that the tree should be able to go better. And we learned early in our Masechta that's considered zareya. So here he asks, if you have a field in which klayim is growing, what halacha is that the fruit that goes from a tree that's klayim is asur. So what you're supposed to do is, you're supposed to rip out the klayim immediately. So now the question is, are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? You're doing it for a purpose, to make that the rest of the fruit on the tree will be mutter to grow. So the question is that mutter or asur? Is it considered on Shabbos a malach of zareya? So he gives two reasons why it should be mutter. One is, he quotes a Tosfos Yontif that when we learned early in the Masechta that Bzoimer is considered a malacha, that pruning a tree is considered a malacha, that's only if you're pruning the tree from where something grows. But if you're pruning a neighboring tree, in other words, there are two trees that are too close to each other, and because they're so close, there's a concern that it won't grow properly. There, the Tosfos Yontif says that that's not called zimur. Zimur is only if what actually is growing will get better. In our case, when you're pulling out the klayim, what is growing will not get necessarily better. It's only going to become mutter because now it's not next to the fruit. Now you don't have on this tree fruit that is klayim. It doesn't make the actual fruit that's going to remain better. If the actual fruit that remains is not necessarily going to become better, it's not on the same tree, that's not called zoymer. So therefore here too, it would not be called zoymer. That's one reason to be lenient. And then the other point that he wants to make is that when we speak about a tikkun, when we speak about something getting better, it means that it physically gets better. Here, by pulling out the klayim, the fruit that's left doesn't physically get better. What gets better is that there's no issa klayim. So even though, of course, we're not allowed to eat klayim, there's no question about that, but klayim is a halachic concept. And a halachic concept cannot be applied to the physical melachos of Shabbos, and therefore that would not necessarily be considered an act of zoymer. Continues the Gemara. Amar Ravasi, Arugash Toichshisha Chutz Migvulehel. They used to leave on the outside of the field a space, a walkway around the field where they could water the fruit, the vegetables that are growing. So when we speak, says the Gemara, about the patch that we've been discussing of 6x6, it must be a patch that is 6x6 exclusive of that walkway around the patch. Because if we're going to take the patch as 6x6 and then have to deduct a tefach from each side, so then the width of this patch will only be 4 tefachim. If the width of the patch will be only 4 tefachim, and we're going to want to put a seed in the middle, there won't be enough distance between the seed in the middle and the sides. Amar Rav Asi, so therefore says Rav Asi, Aruga, when we speak about this patch, Toich HaShisha, the actual interior of the patch, measures 6x6, Chutz Migvaleho, not including the borders of the patch. And Tanya Nami Hachi, Aruga, the Aruga that we've been speaking about, is Toich HaShisha, the inside is 6 tefachim. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Gvuleha Bekama. So how far is the shear of the outside of the border of a patch? Answers the Gemara Kretanan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Roichiv Kmalei Rocha Parsa. The width is equal to the width of the sole of a foot, which is equal to a tefach. Omer Rav Zeir Vitem Rav Chanina Bar Papa, my Talmud Rabbi Yehuda. Where does Rabbi Yehuda take this shear from? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, here the Pasuk speaks about Eretz Yisrael. And the Pasuk is contrasting Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, the Pasuk said, when they had to water the fields, they had to actually bring water to water the field. But the Pasuk says Eretz Yisrael, the rain comes down and waters the field. So the Pasuk says, and of course the question is, what does the Pasuk have to speak about? How does the Pasuk what is the point of the Pasuk mentioning your feet? To teach us, ma, just like the width of a foot is ma regel tefach, to teach us that the width of the border of the field is a tefach. And as Rashi points out, there are different halachas that are said regarding fields. So to be considered a field, it has to have the proper halachas of a field. And therefore, we need to know that a border of a tefach around the field is also one of the halachas that is required to be considered a field. Says the Gemara. Omer Rav, but now Rav says that when we speak about this field, this patch that you could plant up to five different seeds in the small area of six tefachim by six tefachim, says Rav, aruga b'chor b'shenina. We're speaking about a situation where there are no other patches around this interior patch. But if there were other patches surrounding this patch, then you can't follow this formula. Ask the Gemara, v'ikam makam kronish. Yes, there is a concern, obvious concern, that if I'm planting patches between each next to each other, and as we just discussed, the distance between one patch and the other is only two tefachim. Each patch has a border of one tefach. That's not enough of a separation. But ask the Gemara, let's follow the diagram that Rashi shows in the towards the bottom of the Amud, the upper diagram in Rashi. So if we look at that diagram, we make sure that no side of any of the patches in this area of nine patches have any zroim growing within three tefachim of each other. So if, where it's not obvious that the separate patches we need to have, that the separate patches we need to have a distance, here we'll have the proper distance. And we could plant still in each one of these patches as much five different seeds. Why does Rav say that we may not to? Answers the Gemara, because if we want to follow this diagram, as is very obvious in the diagram, no side in any of these patches is filled up all the way. The case that we learned in the Mishnah, the case that we're describing, is a situation where we want to fill up the entire side of the patch. If you're going to want to fill up the entire side of the patch, to be able to plant five different seeds in one small 6x6 tefachim patch, you can only have it when there are no other patches around it. Amar Rav, Amar Bei Rav, Mishmei de Rav, we're speaking about a case of a malus akronis, and that's why this is the only way it can be done. Ask the Gemara, but why not do what we just explained? Why do we say that the Mishnah is talking about a case strictly where you're filling up the patches and now you're limiting yourself to this 6x6 patch has to be an independent patch? Do the diagram like Rashi shows us, and it will follow this diagram, we'll have a way of planting so many more patches. Answers the Gemara, a new teretz. Gzeira shem yamala sakronis. The only way this would be mutter is if you plant only part of each side. But Rav was concerned that if you're going to start planting each side, albeit just partially, what you may come to do is start planting it all the way. And if you start planting it all the way, then we'll have a concern. So that's why Rav made a gzeira. Ask the Gemara, V'lo yehei el roish tar yerek. There's a new halacha, which is shown in the diagram in Rashi here as well, which looks like a V. Now, the halacha of a roish tar yerek is that if one field enters into another field, and it's obvious, going back to what we discussed, Baruch Hashem, at the beginning of our shir, we said at the beginning of our shir that when it's obvious that these are two distinct fields, then we're not concerned about klayim. So here, if one field is shaped like a V, so and it's entering into another field, it's still obvious that this is a separate field. So since it's obvious that it's a separate field, there's no concern of klayim. Here too, because they're planted this way, it should be considered obvious that they're separate fields. Miloy Tanan, doesn't the Mishnah Masechta Klayim teach us explicitly? If one field enters into the other field in such a fashion, mutter, It's mutter b'nei shenira soif soda, because it's obvious that this is a separate field. So why over here that each one is identified as a separate patch? We go back to our point that as long as each patch, as long as each thing that's growing is identifiable as separate, that should make that there's no hilchus klayim. Answers the Gemara. Ein rosh ta, Rav's opinion is ein rosh ta baroga. He says that when you go from one patch to another patch, you can't rely on the heter of rosh tar. Only when you're going from one field to another field, or from an aruga to a field, or from a sada to an aruga, there it's nicker. There it's obvious that these are considered separate. That these are separate areas. But when you have all of these patches next to each other, so it's not obvious that these are separate. And therefore, since it's not obvious that they're separate, we can't rely on the heter that where it's obvious that this is considered an obvious area and there is no concern of klayim. V'Shmuel Amar, but Shmuel has a different interpretation. And Shmuel says that the halacha that we learned in the Mishnah is aruga ben aruga shenina. It's even when it's one patch amongst many other patches. That means going back to the diagram that Rashi showed us on Amar Aleph, according to Ula, if you would have all of these different patches next to each other, you still could plant them in the fashion that our Mishnah described. Ask the Gemara, but isn't Shmuel concerned that they're going to get all intermingled? And then if it looks like Klayim, it is Klayim? Answers the Gemara, what you'll have to do is, you're going to have to separate them in a way that, so you're going to have to indeed follow the diagram of Rashi and Amar Aleph and not fill them up all the way. So as the Rishonim explain, the machloikus between, according to Rashi, between Shmuel and Rav is a very simple machloikus. Everybody agrees that halachically, if we follow the diagram that Rashi showed us on Amar Aleph, it becomes a situation which is obvious that these are separate patches. And as soon as it becomes obvious that these are separate patches, we have no concern for Hilchus Klayim. However, when do we have a concern for Hilchus Klayim? Rav said, because we're concerned that even though you're going to be only planting half of each side, Rav was concerned that you may come to plant the entire length of each side. To which Shmuel says, that indeed is usur. But we have no reason, says Shmuel, to be concerned about that. We don't have, that's not a gzeira that Shmuel felt needed to be made. And since that's not a gzeira that Shmuel felt needed to be made, it's mutter. Ask the Gemara, Amu'ula, says the Gemara, Amu'ula, Baba Marova. They ask the following question in Eretz Yisrael. Hefkia telem echer apnei kula. If somebody made a furrow along the entire patch and planted it with different seed, mahu, is that what is the halacha then? By making this furrow in the field itself, what's the halacha? Do we say that because you made this furrow going from one side of the field to the other side of the field, so and therefore it's certainly coming within three tefachim of the sides, and we said at the beginning of our shiur today that when one zera comes within three tefachim of the other, we have a concern of klayim? Or do we say that since it's a furrow, that is a hecker, that shows that this is a separate area? And as we keep on repeating, once it's shown as a separate area, it's mutter. And it says Rav Sheshes, Om Rav Sheshes, Ba Irev, Ubitel Es Ashura. What the halacha is that the proximity of this new seed makes that this should not be mutter. Whereas Ravasi Omer, Ravasi holds, Ein Ruvoy Mevatol Sashura. There is no problem. Why? Because since it's a distinct furrow, so because it's a distinct furrow, that shows that it's a distinct area, and therefore whenever it shows that it's distinct, there is no Isser of Klayim. Ask the Gemara, Eser Ravina L'Ravashi. So Ravina asked Ravashi on what Rav Asi just said. It says in a Mishnah in Masechta Klayim, and the Toya Shtei Shura Shagashumim, if somebody plants two rows of melons, Shtei Shura Shadaluin, two rows of cucumbers, Shtei Shura Shapula Mitzri, two rows of a type of an Egyptian bean, Mutter. It's Mutter. However, if you plant, because it's obvious that these are each distinct areas. However, if you plant Shur Achashal Geshuim, or Shur Achashal Deluim, or Shur Achashal Pola Mitzri next to each other, Usur. So we see that when there's only one row of a different species, it doesn't create this distinct area. It looks like they're all growing together. So why, in according to Rav Asi, if you make this furrow in the property, it shows that it's a separate area. We just saw that a furrow doesn't create a separate area. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hacha, you can't bring a raya from that Mishnah. The case in that Mishnah was Dikishrocha. All of these different foods that the Mishnah refers to, melons, cucumbers, beans, have very long vines, and they easily, therefore, get intermingled. So therefore, since they look like they're all intermingled, and again, what it looks like is critical when we speak about Hilchas Klayim, that's why it's considered a situation of Klayim. But if it doesn't look like that, there is no concern. Says the Gemara, Amar of Kahana, Amar of Yochanan, Haroitz Lamalus Kol Genosa Yerek. So the way we've been learning, yes, you have a patch of 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim, and yes, we learned in the Mishnah and the Gemara, in this small patch, you could bring up to 5 different types of zroim. But we also learned there's going to be a significant amount of area that's going to be left empty to be able to accomplish this. And of course, somebody who's planting land doesn't want to have any empty area. So the question is, how can we fill up this entire area? So says Rabbi Kahana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Haroitz Lamalas Kol Ginosa Yerek. He wants to fill up the entire area with different vegetables. Oise Aruga Shisha Al Shisha. We start with a patch, which is 6 by 6 tefachim. V'Oigel Gvar Chamisha. And inside of it, make a circle that goes 5 tefachim by each wall. And then you can fill up the sides whatever you want. So he's saying as follows. By taking the circle, so it's not just one seed in the middle, but you have an entire circle inside. So it's obvious different than the vegetables that are being planted along the length of each side. And since it's obvious that it's different than the length of than the vegetables that are being planted along the side, so again, we have that an obvious distinct area, and we could have a heter to plant that way. Ask the Gemara, v'heika de beini bine. How could you say that this is mutter when you're going to plant along the side of the field, they're literally touching the, what's growing in the middle? Answers the Gemara, Amri de Brei Rabbi Yanai, but machrav in anayim. What Rabbi Yanai says, Rabbi Yochanan meant to say is that you could fill up the entire inside with this type of growth, and you leave the sides empty, and therefore we don't have any mixture. That means you leave the area between the patches free. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't mean you could fill up the entire garden, but each patch. Going back to a garden that has many different patches, the example that we showed in Rashi's diagram in Amud Aleph, each patch will essentially almost be completely planted, and each one will be planted with different seeds. Rav Ashi Amar, No, there's a way of planting the patches, even the sides. You take the what grows inside and what grows outside and plant them in different direction. And by planting them by different direction, by planting them in different directions, that shows that they're distinct areas. Eisvei Ravina Laravashi. So Rav Yochanan said, we have this field with all these patches, and we could almost plant each one with a different type. And Ravashi is even more makel. He says we could plant the sides of each one with a different type. Eisvei Ravina Laravashi, avoid this yerek biyerek, acher, the area of planting, the area between one patch and another patch is shisha tfachim. That means you could plant, as we learned in our Mishnah, five species in a patch that is six tfachim by six tfachim. Betavla merubas. This patch looks like a square. So what do we see? That this halacha is betavla hudashari. It's only when it's planted as a square. If it wasn't planted that way, it's asur. So how could you say that it, even not that way, it's mutter? Answers the Gemara, that's not the point of that Mishnah. That Mishnah is coming to teach us another halacha that we learned earlier in our shiur today. Hasam la kuliba kula achrina. The Mishnah over there wants to teach us the other halacha that we learned. Lahati roish Torah yotzim meimenu. That if one field penetrates into another field, if it looks like it's a different field, it's mutter. That's what it's coming to teach us. And then you could plant even different fields differently. And that isn't a contradiction to what we're learning from here, that when you have these little patches, and Rashi goes on to say that by patches, we learned earlier in our shir, we don't have the heter of Rosh Tar. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying that there may be no heter of Rosh Tar, but when it's obvious the way he's planting that they're separate patches, even though we don't have the heter of Rosh Tar, they still may be planted in such a fashion.